I'm a talk show host.
Wow, a dying breed. There's only like 800 of you left.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yeah. Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. So, Aaron, I suppose you're one of those people. I'm watching the 11 o'clock news last night, and I'm getting so annoyed because the weather person is talking about how it's going to be 91. And then she says, but don't worry, relief is on the way because it's going to be in the 70s and low 70s and 60s tomorrow and the next day. And we get one nice day and all the wimps freak out.
You call this a nice day?
It's gorgeous.
It's hot.
It's gorgeous.
I lived in Arizona for about a dozen years.
I love Arizona.
I left for a reason, Dory. I didn't like the 110, the 115. Not a fan.
Then why don't you go to Sitka then, mister?
Maybe
that's
I will.
What everybody always says to me. If you hate this weather so much, why don't you move? So this is too warm in your book.
Yeah, about 10 degrees too warm. I can handle like 75. After that, it's like, I could do without it.
Wait. What do you mean you can handle?
Well, I mean, I can handle.
You lived in Arizona.
Fair
you
enough.
Can handle 100, obviously.
Fair enough.
You're still with us.
Yes, true. There's just not a lot of, I don't have AC in the house. That's kind of an issue. I'm getting a heat pump in a couple weeks, though. That should help. So,
there you go. Okay. Yeah. When my mom and I, as a kid, we were going to drive to California, and we heard that it was just baking hot through Sacramento and Northern California. It's, you know, going to be in the hundreds. And so my mom, there's a AA Rentals right at the top of Holman Road, and she bought this machine. It plugged into the cigarette lighter in the car. Yep. And you would, every time we'd stop to, you know, get something to eat, she'd ask for a bag of ice. And then you'd pour the ice into this machine. It was like a fan. It was supposed to spit out cold air. And I'd always have the machine trained on my face. I was in the back seat. But it would also shoot razor sharp shards of ice right into my eyeballs.
Okay.
It was the most poorly designed, cheap air conditioner ever.
Is there a recall on that product?
There probably was. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm happy for you that it's going to be miserably cold again tomorrow.
No. I'm not like happy it's going to drop down into the 60s. I'm okay with it.
Oh, okay.
I'd prefer the 70s.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's all. That's so much
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Hey, right before the top of the hour, I played a Kamala philosophy soundbite, and I was listening to it. Nicole said, you have to hear this, but I didn't hear it until I played it just a few minutes ago. But as I heard this soundbite, I realized I've heard something like this almost exactly before. So here's the new one from Kamala.
The strength of our nation has always been that despite the odds and the obstacles, we push to move forward, that we are guided by what we see that can be, unburdened by what has been.
Oh, it's just precious. But I realize, I swear I've heard that before.
My fellow Americans, as a young boy, I dreamed of being a baseball. But tonight I say we must move forward, not backward. Upward, not forward, and always twirling, twirling, twirling towards freedom.
The aliens of The Simpsons are Kamala's new... Maybe she's an alien. I think that they are Kamala's new speechwriters there. Shockingly similar. Oh, man. We had some sports news over the weekend. So in a cycling race, a biological man defeated a bunch of women this weekend. I remember a conversation I had on air with a coworker about 6-7 years ago when biological men started playing women's sports. And my coworker said, Dory, do you really think that this is going to happen in big numbers? I said, I guarantee you it will. You kidding me? If biological men can go out and dominate women's events, of course it's going to happen. Well, in New Zealand, a biological male mountain biker has been dominating all races in the women's division. Kate Weatherly says that anything that will keep biological men from competing against women is horrifying. But there's somebody who has been winning women's cycling event after cycling event. And it's not just in New Zealand. Also this weekend, a 29-year-old biological man beat a 13-year-old girl to win a New York City skateboarding contest. Now, this was a contest with a first prize. The winner was going to get 500, or the winner did get 500 bucks. And this 13-year-old girl named Shiloh Katori, she was the highest-placing girl. But a 29-year-old biological man comes in and wins the event. And this is the second time that this biological man has beat girls in skateboarding competitions. So, yes, as we predicted years ago, this will become something that threatens women's sports. And on the 50th anniversary of Title IX, and as I've said from day one, this is not about being anti-trans. This is about respecting and supporting and defending the sanctity of women's sports. And anybody who doesn't see that is simply not interested in fairness and competition, especially in skateboarding. Men have a much higher center of gravity, which makes men, no matter where they are in the transition process, just biologically, men are much better at being able to pull off stuff than women who have a lower center of gravity in skateboarding. So this trend line continues at breakneck speed. Last week, we told you about the absolute bigots, the extremist bigots who are taking over this wonderful sports organization that's been around for decades and decades and decades, the Greater Seattle Summer Swim League. And a bunch of extremist bigots who do not care about the sanctity of girls' sports, about preserving fairness and competition, they are without any biological that I can tell. Looks like they've just cut and pasted all this stuff into a 13-page document about gender inclusivity. And they're threatening to destroy, as you know, Leah Thomas did at the college level. They're threatening to destroy the sanctity of competition, the fairness for girls in the Greater Seattle Summer Swim League. And it is an absolute travesty what is going on. So everybody says, what's your answer, Monson? Answer's very simple. You have three divisions. You have a boys' division, you have a girls' division, and you have an open division. And if you are transgender, you can compete in the open division. And that's it. Well, what if there aren't enough to field a race? Well, there weren't enough when Leah Thomas was competing and winning by a full pool length. That wasn't a race. That wasn't a competition. That was a biological man swimming by himself against seven women who didn't have a prayer. So it would be no different to have somebody swimming literally by themselves in a pool in an open division and then let the sanctity of girls' sports continue. With that as mere prelude, let's get into the big lead.
The big lead, Bizarro World.
A lot of stuff has been said and has transpired in the wake of Friday's Supreme Court decision that says that abortion is a states' rights issue, and it just returns it to the states. But there are some politicians who are absolutely bizarro on this very issue. Just, you know, as I said, I've never seen so many people who in the media and in politics who are just lying about what this issue really is. They say it's about the Supreme Court. Bleep the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court ruled based on the Constitution. Nobody has challenged that it was a constitutionally correct decision. Nobody's even tried to challenge that, which is what happens when people just resort to F words, F the Supreme Court. Now, if you want to try to make some kind of an impact, why don't you make some reasoned argument that this was constitutionally incorrect? The problem is you can't. There's pretty solid constitutionalists who are on the court. And so they just start screaming F words about it. But let me tell you about what some people are saying about this. There's a Port of Seattle commissioner, and she went on Twitter bragging about how she has had 3 abortions now, which just makes me wonder. Because everybody says, no, this is a health issue. This is a health issue. It's all it's about. If you've had 3 abortions, is that a women's health issue? Or is it your sick form of birth control? If you keep doing it over and over and over again. Now, this port commissioner said the first time she was very young, and second time was in an abusive relationship, and the third time she was married with a kid, and they just decided they didn't want to have another kid. The question persists. How in the world, if you're married with a kid, you've had 2 previous abortions, and then you just use one, another abortion, because you and your husband or your partner, whoever it is, have just decided that you don't want to have another kid. And these are the people who are making decisions. As politicians, these are the people who are making decisions about multi-billion dollar budgets. You know, it's the question that persists. If you can't even run your own life, I'll be damned if she'll run mine. Sunshine. Her name is Toshiko Hasegawa. And when she went on Twitter, she said, I am 34 years old, and I've had 3 abortions. Yeah, 3. And then she went through it all. She said that her first one was, you know, let me pull up the tweeter thread here. I want to make sure I quote her correctly here. But a Port of Seattle commissioner, somebody responsible for billions of dollars. The first one, she was young, broke, and unprepared. Okay, you know what? I think we would all extend grace there. And I think we could understand somebody who's young. I don't know how young. But, you know, if there are 15, 16-year-old kids who make a mistake, I don't know that any of us would want to condemn them. But then she said her second abortion for Toshiko Grace Hasegawa. Abortion number 2. I was older and in a financially better place, but I was in an awful relationship. He was already physical with me, and now I know intimate partner violence increases with pregnancy. I have residual neck trauma that still requires therapy to this day. Okay, you've already had 1 abortion. You're in a relationship with somebody who you said he was already physical with me. You must have known if this was an abusive relationship, you wouldn't want to bring a child into it. So why not use birth control? And all the people say, birth control fails. Sorry. Yeah. I'd like to know. She didn't say birth control failed. She just said she chose the abortion because she was in an abusive relationship. Well, don't get pregnant. You're in a relationship. He was already physical with me. And partner violence increases with pregnancy. Why in the world would you, having already had 1 abortion, be so reckless as to almost bring a baby into an abusive relationship? But then Toshiko Grace Hasegawa goes on to say, Abortion number three. I was married with a new baby. It was too soon to get pregnant. I wasn't personally ready, physically, emotionally, mentally. My little family wasn't ready either. Plus, pregnancy before 18 months postpartum begets risk to the baby. The zygote had a low heart rate. We chose the zygote. Ooh, that's you got to say when you know what you did. You can't say the baby. Can't say our unborn child. The zygote had a low heart rate. Okay, again, you weren't ready physically, emotionally, or mentally. Your family wasn't ready. And pregnancy before 18 months postpartum begets risk to the baby, as she wrote. So, again, why wouldn't you use birth control? Why wouldn't you tell your partner to get a vasectomy? Why wouldn't you do something to prevent the pregnancy? I mean, this is, and we offered, we asked her to come on the show. I assume, Nicole, you never heard back from the port commissioner, correct?
Yes, I have not heard back.
Okay. I'd love to talk with her about this. She sounds to me, just based on that information, like an unbelievably irresponsible human being who's responsible for billions of budgeting dollar decisions. Doesn't sound equipped to even run her own life. So these are some of the messages that are coming out of all of this. That it's, in many cases, it's not about the health of the mother. It's not about getting the mother out of a horrible situation. It's about just another form of birth control. And that is incredibly sick to me. Okay, that also is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
And then, how about the way that government is censoring people right now? I have an amazing story of a local governmental agency that is violating First Amendment rights. And not one of our leaders, not Jay Inslee, not Dow Constantine, not Bob Fergie Ferguson, none of them have anything to say about a blatant First Amendment rights violation. Well, the details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Aaron, the heat advisory is till 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
So, how should I alter my life at 10 p.m. tonight? Under the heat advisory. What are they advising?
We're advising you that there's heat.
This is the national.
This is the National Weather Service issuing this this advisory. Yeah, so, I know it's not a warning; it's an advisory, right? It's
right.
Kind of, right. Yeah.
But again, it's until 11.
Yes.
So 10 o'clock tonight.
It's still going to be hot enough.
How should I deal with this information at 10? Wait a second. Let me look at my hourly. Mm-hmm. Okay, at 10 p.m. this evening, it's going to be 73 degrees. How does the heat advisory affect my life?
Do you think the advisory should end at like 7 or 8? What's the temperature going to be at 7?
At 7, it'll be 83.
I think they're just trying to say, you know, when you go to bed tonight, it's going to be, if you don't have air conditioning, it's going to be hotter than normal.
But the heat advisory ends at 11.
That's what I'm saying. When you go to bed before 11.
What if somebody goes to bed at 11:15?
Well, then it's over. They don't need to be aware of it anymore.
I'm so confused.
Oh, you're just thinking too much about it.
Low
it's
fan.
Just higher than average temperatures mm-hmm. until 11, and then it's going to cool down and it's going to be like normal.
I have been so advised.
Yeah.
Yep. All now right. You know.
Yes, I do. Thank you. All right. So until 11 o'clock tonight, the heat advisory will remain in effect. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, at the, you know, we're talking about the port commissioner who proudly proclaimed her three abortions on Twitter on Friday, Toshiko Grace Hasegawa. There's something else really funky going on at the Port of Seattle. Jason Rance has this story. You can read it at mynorthwest.com. But the Port of Seattle, and this is bizarre. This is government getting into areas where government has absolutely no business. You know what the Port of Seattle should be concerned about? They should be concerned about trying to help get flights in and out on time, maybe trying to reduce the delay for your bags to arrive on the conveyor belt. There's a lot of stuff that they could do better at SeaTac Airport. But the social media manager for SeaTac Airport, they had a post this weekend after the Supreme Court decision. They said, Seattle-Tacoma International Airport welcomes anyone traveling to Washington State for access to safe abortion care. We are here for you, and you are safe at SeaTac. Okay, so stupid message. It has nothing to do with their core mission. But then there were 284 replies to that tweet. But there was a problem. The Port of Seattle, meaning the government, decided to hide any tweets that they disagreed with. Not tweets that were vile, that used bad language, that were nasty. Just nice tweets that politely disagreed with them. And suddenly they start disappearing from the feed. Twitter can hide messages, which means nobody can see them publicly. And many of them, as Jason points out, were reasonable and respectful. They just disagreed with the position of the airport. And I thought in the United States of America that you were allowed to disagree with the government, but not at SeaTac, apparently. One person wrote, today is a victory for unborn women. SeaTac media manager, social media, hid that so nobody could see it. Now, how's that objectionable? Since they're the ones who brought the topic up, they could have stayed away from all of this if they decided just not to tweet about a Supreme Court decision when they have much bigger fish to fry at SeaTac. But another person said, you have to be kidding me. How embarrassing, to the SeaTac initial tweet. You have to be kidding me. How embarrassing. You guys are an airport, not a political party. That one was hidden from public view. So this is about as blatant a First Amendment violation as you can imagine. This is the government silencing people. If this was a private business, I would have no argument about this. But this is the government deciding what opinion is acceptable and what opinion will be banished. Seriously, even if you are a far leftist, are you okay with this? Are you okay with letting the government? Can you imagine if Donald Trump had done something like this on a national scale? I'd come up with a Republican on the local scale, but we don't have any. So maybe you're okay with it because I'm always on the side of government here in Washington. You going to be okay if Republicans got control of the House and the Senate in Olympia in November? And if they decided to just bury any, even if it's a respectful opinion that differs with theirs? You okay with that? This seems like it would be something everybody should be upset with. So Jason got hold of their spokesperson. And the spokesperson says that they started blocking and censoring users if the comments violated its social media policy. And he said any abuse, there were some abusive comments around the LGBT pride messaging. But that's not true. They posted two LGBT tweets earlier this month. There were zero hidden comments. One of them didn't get any responses. A second one, there were three critical comments, but none were vulgar, none were hidden. It's on this abortion issue that they've decided to violate their own social media policy, to violate the First Amendment of the people who wrote it, and from a tax dollar standpoint, to completely get away from their core mission, which is to operate this airport and the seaports and do it in an efficient way. There's no connection between an airport and abortion services. But boy, if your mind ain't right, which means if your mind ain't left, then you cannot be part of the conversation. And here's my question. We have an attorney general in this state, Bob Fergie Ferguson. Where are you? It's your job as attorney general to protect the constitutional rights of every citizen of this state. But Bob Ferguson, the most dangerous politician in my lifetime here in Washington, he would never go after this because he's afraid that it might tick off the anti-abortion or the pro-abortion crowd, the pro-death crowd, and they might not vote for him for governor someday. And so he will use the attorney general's office to just ignore any constitutional violations by his side. Justice is supposed to be blind, but it's not. Justice here has HD vision. And if you think like Bob Fergie Ferguson, then you have free speech. If you disagree with Bob Fergie Ferguson, he will destroy you. So there you go. SeaTac Airport will not allow any polite, respectful comments that disagree. So, you know, another question. When I travel, they listen to my radio show. They probably disagree with my opinion. What are you going to do to me, SeaTac, when I come down there? When I come down, am I going to get, you going to force TSA to maybe increase the intensity of the body cavity search? If we can't get his mind right with an exchange of thoughts, perhaps we can do it from the inside out. Okay, SeaTac Airport violating rights, and no politicians are willing to stand up about it, but I will. We're going to stay on top of this. Good story. Jason Rand says it up in mynorthwest.com too. All right, awesome audio of the day coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. What a way to kick off the week. Thank you for all the tips you've been sending us. We're on some of them already, as you always provide us with great exclusive stories that we pursue every day of our lives. All right, this is the time of day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Yeah, on this whole abortion thing, nobody has made more sense than AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
We have many ideas. We have some ideas coming from Senator Warren, signed a letter along with 25 other Democratic senators asking President Biden to explore opening health care clinics on federal lands in red states.
Yes, open abortion clinics on federal property. Hi, I'd like to send this letter registered mail, please, and please remove the baby that's inside me too. Yeah, let's do that in all federal offices. Yeah, can I renew my passport and cancel my baby? Good, good. We'll do that on federal land. Excellent idea, AOC. Also, in our awesome audio, Boris Johnson. He was talking on CNN, and Jake Tapper, Jake Tapper is worried about our democracy in America.
Are you worried at all? Do you look?
No. I want to say this to the people of the United States. I'm not. I think that, I just get back to what I've been trying to say to you throughout this interview. I think that reports of the death of democracy in the United States are grossly, grossly exaggerated.
Of course, you know, take somebody on the outside, a Brit, to say, look, we're not, we've got too many safeguards in place. We have too many redundancies. Joe Biden's the worst president in at least 150 years. He's horrible. But he's not going to end America. Donald Trump was 1,000 times better president than Joe Biden, but everybody on the left was saying, he's ruining democracy. It's the end of America as we know it. Nah, even if you didn't agree with Trump on the stuff that he did, he didn't come close to ending America. But the hysterics in the media, like Jake Tapper, they have to keep selling that message. Speaking of Trump, horse race, Texas, Lone Star Park. A horse was about to win by more than 10 lengths when there was divine intervention for an interestingly named second-place horse.
And Moro Flyboy have absolutely opened up on them inside the furlong pole. He might lead it by double digits. Heavenly Trump is going to be second. Oh, and Moro Flyboy ducked in, hit the rail, and unseated the rider. And Heavenly Trump is going to inherit the win here.
Huh. Horse on its way to a 10-length victory, and somehow, for some reason, just hits the rail. Jockey goes flying off, and Heavenly Trump takes an unlikely victory. Never heard of anything like that before. Let's see what else we got going on here. Kamala Harris is talking about funding travel in red states. It's just... It's all nonsense.
What about the idea of financial resources, mm-hmm. some form of voucher for travel, childcare services, other forms of support for people, for women seeking abortions in states where it's not legal, right. but they just don't have the means to go elsewhere?
I think you're asking a very important point, making a very important point, which is what are the details that are going to go into ensuring that women have the ability to actually travel without impairment. And we know that on this issue, women who have access to resources will probably be far less impacted by this decision than women who don't have
the resources. Taxpayers are going to pay for people to travel from the red state. How about this? If this is the most important issue in your life, why don't you move to Washington or California or any of the states where everything's unchanged? I know, radical concept to suggest that things are unchanged in much of America by what happened with the Supreme Court. All right, and finally, last word for today's show goes to a woman described as a feminist icon. Her name is Regina Thomas Hauer, and this was her reaction when the Supreme Court decision came down. Yeah! See how she's arrived at icon status. Yeah, I got to get out of here. John Kelly, Sherry Elker show coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Hello.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.